is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
129. This is Nation Radio, and of course we are after the draft, day number two of the draft. It was very exciting. I haven't had an opportunity to see who the big winners and losers were. Based on what I saw, I thought Toronto had a really good draft, Montreal as well, and Pittsburgh. I mean, they just clocked it from what I could tell, and I thought that Edmonton did very well. Day one was spectacular, a major, major home run there. Day two, I think the pick that most people are questioning is the reach pick, or perceived as the reach pick, when what I would call it that, Mitch Moraes at number 32. This is a guy who, big, strong guy, has some skill, but there were a lot of skill guys on the board. And as Jason Greger said a few minutes ago, he felt like the Oilers maybe felt, you know, in the past they drafted skill over toughness and it hadn't gotten anywhere. And they really felt like an organizational need that Moraes might come in and be that guy. I think they've got a few guys who are tough, but not enough skill to play with the big boys. And lots of skill, but maybe not enough toughness to play that right side. I think Pitlick might be a guy who's a candidate. This is a different kind of guy. Mitch Moraes is very tough with enough skill. It's a little bit different. He's more of a what I call a Coke machine. The next pick, Jujhar Kariya, interesting guy, very interesting fellow. I'll have more on that on my blog on the Harvest Moon Post tonight. But he's a guy at first blush I was not that high on. Now I can see maybe what the Oilers are looking at there. And then Zharkov, to me anyway, at number 91, was a terrific pick based on where they were at that particular time. Robert Cleave joins us now from Jets Nation, Flames Nation, and wrote a great article that's up now, Draft 2012 Monstrosity. And I wanted to get him in and talk a little bit about the 2012 draft for the Jets. How are you, Robert?
Happy to be here, Alan. How are you doing?
Very well. Let's talk about the draft. I know that the Jets last year maybe reached a little bit for Shifley, and fans talked about it for a year. I thought they did very well in the first round, getting Trouba at 9. Was that your reaction, and how did you feel about the rest of the draft?
Well, there's nothing wrong with Trouba at 9 in theory. It sounds good, and he's a very nice player. I think he'll actually be a very good defenseman. I guess my only objection is when opportunity knocks, you should think about taking it. And I kind of feel like just as last year when Couturier dropped into their midst and they just pushed him away, they've kind of done the same thing, I think, with Gregor Inko and Forsberg. And I don't like to get into the whole idea of positional need. You should just take the best players as much as possible. But unless Trouba is going to be dramatically better than Gregor Inko or Forsberg, they kind of need the forwards. And the Trouba's a right D. Their best young prospect on defense is Bogosian, or best young player. I guess prospect's unfair. He's a legit player. But he's also a right D. Bufflin's a right D. Neither one of them's over 27. I don't know. It just strikes me as almost like they had a fixed idea, mm-hmm. and they went with it, irrespective of circumstance. That's not my style, but, you know, that doesn't mean Trouba's not a good player. Had the forwards kind of gone wherever and thought they would have, he would have been there at 9, they would have taken him, and nobody'd be the wiser. Just looks like sort of a missed chance.
How do you feel about the second-round pick, Sutter? He's a guy who the Oilers fans were looking at as a possibility as well. Where do you feel about him?
Again, there's nothing wrong with him where they took him. He's a perfectly reasonable player, and I don't doubt that he has a chance to be an NHLer. Again, I'd like to see them be a bit more adventurous on the skill side. But, you know, my objection isn't really that he's a bad player. I'm sure he'll be all right. But, I mean, it's second rounder. I try not to get too excited about really anything after about the first 15 picks. But, no, I'm sure he'll be okay. I mean, there's a couple other guys, a couple other Europeans that maybe you could have had a little more skill. But that tends to be then a little bit more of a assessment between whether players are actually going to translate what they bring in junior to the NHL. And forward to forward, that's just more of an opinion as much as anything, as opposed to needing forwards rather than defensemen.
Every year when I look through the draft that as I'm doing right now, I'm always struck by the fact that certain teams seem to, and I'm pointing at Detroit and Nashville. I thought Toronto had a great draft this time around, Pittsburgh as well. There are certain teams that just seem to get a little more, as you say, skill, even though they add the toughness here and there. Is that luck, timing, or how do you feel some of these organizations seem to gather more skilled players over the draft?
Well, I think in a lot of cases, it sort of becomes a bit of a virtuous cycle. Teams have it, and they end up being good teams, and that allows them to maybe be a bit freer in their selection process, whereas they sometimes think some of the teams that are sort of in the mushy middle or down at the bottom, they feel like they need a little bit more surety in what they end up with, so they end up maybe not doing that sort of risk-reward thing, and maybe not assessing it right. The other thing is some teams just look for skill, and they'll live with, I think they understand, or at least maybe they share my opinion would be more accurate. You can always find toughness and grit, and you can usually find it for a lot cheaper than guys that can score goals. Call me crazy, but that just seems to be the way the market's worked for, I don't know, about 100 years. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things I've always wondered about the draft, and this is, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody that I think it happened with Calgary this year. Certainly it's happened with the Oilers over and over again. I'm never certain why organizations tell the fan base, we had to take this guy here as a reach pick because we had heard that New Jersey was going to take him. Because from my point of view, I always think maybe New Jersey just planting that seed so you'll take a guy off the board.
I think the word we're looking for here is spin. Really? Look, my original education back in the Dark Ages when dinosaurs roamed the earth was in political studies. I've heard a lot of it in my life. And, no, I mean, when you hear that from Feaster and that sort of stuff from yesterday, that's what they always say because it's a justification to cover your bases. It's whatever. Take it for exactly what it's worth.
And you are in Pittsburgh, right? You were there to enjoy the draft?
I am in the glorious back hallway of the Wyndham Grand Hotel downtown, and it's full of both NHL people and Tigers fans because the Tigers were in this weekend, and some people stuck around. I think the Twins are around right now, or maybe it's vice versa. I'll find out tomorrow because I'll go check out the new ballpark, and it's within walking distance, and it looks lovely.
So you enjoyed your time there?
Yeah, it's good. There's nothing wrong with Pittsburgh at all. Everything's fairly compact. It was good. I mean, next year will be really interesting, of course, because it'll be in Jersey, which will lead to the phenomenon of the NHL having a draft in a place and everybody staying as far away from the actual place as they can.
Yeah, if you're within 400 miles of Manhattan, I guess that's where you're staying, and then you just travel daily, right?
Well, you stay in Manhattan because it's better. Can I just add a quick word about the trade they made today?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm sorry. I wasn't aware of that.
Jonas Gustafsson.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. You know what? I didn't even consider it a trade. Yeah, let's talk about it.
Well, very, very, very briefly. I'll basically summarize what I posted already this afternoon. He has no market for his skills in the NHL. None. Zero. He was headed back to Sweden, probably. That was his likely best case. And worst case, you might have to pay him an extra $50,000 to keep him around in North America. They basically might end up giving Toronto a seventh-round pick so they can bid against themselves for a week. That's really shrewd. Hang on while I shoot myself.
That's beautiful. You know what's funny? When I was on Twitter when that happened, and my mailbox got full like with 30 different things, and it was all the same. What? What happened there?
Why? Why, I think. Why would you do that to yourself? No, look, he's a mediocrity. He's not a worthwhile NHL goalie, and I'm sorry. I'm not going to blame his goalie coach. At some point, you can either stop the puck or you can't.
Yeah, no, it's true. Now, what about, I should ask you about Kane and Pavlich. Should Jets fans be concerned about Evander Kane leaving? Because this is a very talented guy. I mean, I know there's maybe some issues, but that's a guy you got to keep happy, right?
Yeah, and I think it's a lot less likely than the rumor. I think maybe somebody got a little bit out in front there. I suspect in the end they'll end up paying him. What's really interesting to me is Matt Duchene signed for not a gigantic amount of money, short-term deal today, but $3.5 million a year for a guy that was picked immediately ahead of him.
Wow.
And I know Duchene had a tough year this year, but last year he had a terrific season. And I think that's, you know, I hope that's at least in a per-season amount, a nice benchmark, but I suspect Winnipeg will probably try and come in higher and longer for Kane. But no, I I suspect unless things really deteriorate, they'll get a deal done. And frankly, if they didn't get a deal done with Pavlik, I'm not exactly sure my heart would break.
Yeah,
because he wants entirely too much money for what he brings.
Yeah, it's a bad precedent. If you pay him that big dollar, you know, I mean, he's not that good a goalie, right? Like, I mean, he's
Steve Mason, he could be Steve Mason. And if you look at what Mason got paid relative to the cap, if you give Pavlik $4 million, it's about the same deal. Well, we saw how that worked out for Columbus.
Yeah, for sure. Robert, thanks for this. Have a safe trip home, bud.
All right, thanks, Alan. We'll talk to you again.
Okay, sounds good. That's Robert Cleave, and we didn't get a chance too early to talk about the Flames that much. We talked about the Jets and their draft and that trade, which I apologize, I forgot about. That was I always just remember the monster, and it's because it's in Toronto where everything is larger than life, hockey-wise, where, I saw a quote from Burke today where he said, you know, he saved our skin this year sometimes. And he did. I mean, he played well. But, you know, there's a guy who was traded this weekend, and that had to be the most what trade of the entire weekend. Anyway, at least as far as I'm concerned. Now, it's 1:39. We've got our good friend Corey Graham coming along, and we also have an actuality for Mitch Moraz after he was drafted. Pretty happy guy. And, of course, you know, why not? We'll have that and more on the way. This is Nation Radio brought to you by Edmonton Motors.